Well, welcome back to This Week in the Association. I'm joined once again by Kevin Lucco. Kevin, we first of all begin with news that I'm reporting here at the Minor League Sports Report that the commissioner of the American Association has resigned. I have a couple of sources that have provided me information that this looks to be a valid piece of information out there. And so what are your thoughts about that?
Well, at this point, I have to classify it as rumor and innuendo until we get some kind of news release on it, but you have to wonder if people were listening to the podcast we had about Game 4 of the Championship Series, because I believe we were both very animated that a change on top was needed, and looks like the league may be getting it, so we'll stay tuned and see what happens.
Well, I know the owners' meetings did happen in the American Association, and I'll be talking with some of the owners around the league and general managers to see what kind of information they have for us. But the interesting thing that I thought out of this was that an article that Kevin had shown to me about after the series, where Miles Wolf was basically calling the Wingnuts team whiners after the way Game 4 went down. And I thought to myself, dude, are you asking to be fired here? I mean, this is you're talking about one of your organizations that pays you to be in your job, and you're in the Winnipeg Sun basically calling this team out, like how dare they would complain about the umpiring. I have to we'll talk about this article in more in depth here in a minute, but I thought that was really kind of his way of giving his parting shot at that point.
The comparison I made was, could you imagine if Rob Manfred went out and like badmouthed Cleveland for losing to New York last night? It's just unprofessional, uncalled for somebody that's supposed to be a mutual party when it comes to teams competing in a championship series. Just lacks any professionality at all. It's just really, it's really strange. I've never known Miles Wolf to be that kind of guy, and now, you know, this kind of stuff is starting to come out, and it's frankly, it's starting to tarnish his legacy as a pioneer in the independent baseball scene.
Well, a couple of things in this article really jumped out at me, I got to tell you. And the first one of these was him saying he had watched the game, Game 4, that is. He wasn't there, okay, but he'd watched it online until late into the evening, and then he called it quits after a while. However, after admitting that he'd watched the game, he said he didn't see the box, so he really couldn't make a decision on whether it was a good call or not. Well, why did you say you were watching the game, but you didn't see what was going to be the last out of the game? You weren't even watching at that point? I mean, that just doesn't even make sense to me. Okay, and I thought this guy has really lost his mind as far as I was concerned. I he seemed to have backed the umpire, which I would expect him to do as the commissioner of the league, but I'm stunned that the entire way that he presented himself in this article, I thought I have absolutely no respect for this guy whatsoever.
He not just backed his umpire. Wouldn't be surprised he gave Mr. Stegner a raise once he was praising him. And I don't know whose dime he's using to get to the championship series, but he was at Game 3. But he was not at Game 4, but then he flew back up for Game 5, so that's another airline flight that's on the league's dime. To me, that's kind of a waste of money. I think if you're going to be there for every game, not just for select ones, unless there was something really pressing you had to attend to back home.
And why would you come in for a Sunday game, then leave on Monday, okay, knowing that that could be the championship right there, but then it works out magically after a delay in Tuesday's game that you're able to come back Wednesday? I found the whole thing to be ridiculous. And one of the most interesting thing in talking with some of the managers around the league that I have found interesting about this whole thing is one manager in particular talked to me about the fact that he thought the pitch before that Kuschmal had thrown was a balk. Okay, he was watching the entire thing. But what he told me was, he said in the history of his entire time in baseball, that a situation like that has always gone down this way. If an umpire saw that a previous pitch was a ball, he would lean into the catcher and say, listen, you need to tell your pitcher to slow down here a little bit, okay? Because, you know, the last thing that an umpire wants to do is be calling a balk on the last pitch of the game, okay? That should have been the closing out. So it was really, the manager told me he was stunned that the umpire didn't tell Martin Medina there. I know that he didn't tell Martin that, okay? So to decide to interject yourself into the game at that point doesn't even make sense. You know, you could totally have avoided this by ensuring that there was not going to be a call like that. So to me, it feels like Joe Stegner wanted to make sure he was involved in the game, and that's what he chose to do.
Rob, you're a hockey guy. I'm a hockey guy. How many times do you see it when we're watching a game and there's some guys mixing it up in the corner, getting their sticks up, and you hear the ref horn, hey, guys, get the sticks down, break it up. You know, if a guy is starting to hook a guy, he'll say, let up, let up. The officials are, the good ones will be in communication with the players like that, so the players know what's going on instead of just not saying a word, then all of a sudden, going to make a call. It's just good umpiring to try to work with the players, not against them.
And it's like you've said on this show, is that the best umpires are the ones that go unnoticed. Okay, the best referees are the one that you wouldn't even, you know, the calls that they got. You got to make calls when you see them. I don't have any dispute with that. But like you talk about the hockey refs, okay, and I'm sure NFL refs do the exact same thing, where they're telling a guy who might have been kind of holding a receiver going down the field, but they kind of let it slide. Hey, look, don't be doing that again. You know, I'm going to throw a flag on you. Okay. And I think that this was a situation where all of this could have been averted if the umpire has the normal reffing, umpiring, officiating etiquette of saying, again, if you thought, I didn't think the pitch before was a balk, this manager told me that he did, which I'm gonna kind of bow down to his understanding because he's been around this game for a long time. But it sounds to me like the important thing to say at that point was telling the catcher, tell your guy to slow down so we don't have an incident where I have to intervene in this game. He decided not to do that, and now we have the worst call in baseball history at that point. One piece of news that Kevin and I do have coming out of the owners meeting is that there will be division realignment next year. So two divisions, six teams each. From the way that it looks like it, the Winnipeg, Sioux Falls, St. Paul, the new Rosemont team, Gary and Fargo head to the north with the other six heading to the south. What are your thoughts about that?
It's the best situation they could come up with. I guess at this point, when it comes to league dealings, I'm at the point now where I'm kind of looking at the glass half empty instead of being half full. But that's just because stuff that's been going on. I guess the part that it was unavoidable, but I would like to have seen work out, was to get Sioux City and Sioux Falls back in the same division, but it just didn't work out because then who do you pull out of the north, but in the south, and it was just the numbers game. It's a good setup. It keeps the rivalries with Winnipeg, Fargo, St. Paul. Those three all against each other have a pretty good rivalry, and it's Chicago and Gary in the same division. It cuts their travel down. But speaking of travel, Miles Wolf is saying it's going to be a balanced schedule. Well, now Sioux City, who's only about an hour south of Sioux Falls, is going to have to make extra trips down to the south, I would assume. So it's not a good setup in that way. It's just going to be extra expenses for the teams that, like Sioux City and Lincoln, they're going to have to travel south more than they've been accustomed to.
What I understand for the schedule for next season is you would play one series away and one series home against teams out of your division, and two series at home and two series away in your division. So I would hope that for a team like Sioux City, which is still, you know, Cleburne and Grand Prairie are still, I would assume, you know, 10, 11 hours away, I would hope that they would ensure that they were hitting both those teams at the same time. So, you know, go to Grand Prairie, then on to Cleburne and go back home. I hope that that's the way the schedule will work out, but we'll have to see how that comes.
It's still going to be two trips then, and So it's just doubling their expenses from a year ago. So
That is
yeah,
nuts.
it's a numbers thing, and hopefully the league evolves enough where maybe you get some more teams in the southern footprint, and maybe you can bump Sioux City up to the North Division, where, well, frankly, I mean, them and St. Paul have had a pretty good rivalry ever since they met in the division playoffs in 2015.
Not very far
So,
away from each other either, just about 5 hour, 6 hour drive too, so it's not very, very much of a distance there, so
correct.
that would be nice to see, and hopefully they will wind up being able to work that out. To be honest with you, I like the idea of having the division races this way. The top two teams in each division will advance to the playoffs. I looked at it sad that Sioux Falls and Sioux City will only play each other six times when they are just such a short distance away from each other, but I like that this is giving a more balanced schedule. So you know who won the South Division is really a team that beat the five other teams in their division because they played the exact same schedule. And I think that that's beneficial for the league itself.
Yeah, the part I don't like is the division winner. All they're really gaining is an extra home field advantage for the first round. So there's not as much of an emphasis now on being the division winner as it is just being in the top two, where it's kind of more like hockey, where you just try to be in the top four of your division or top three of your division. So it does kind of take away the significance of that carrot of winning the division, but to me, I would like to dangle with the idea of going back to having two halves. I know everybody's got their own view on it, but I'd like to see a team get a fresh start halfway through the year, and then okay, then you got two division winners potentially playing each other in the first round of the playoffs instead of the first and second place. So, a little food for thought there.
The one thing I found interesting was that you still would have had, even if this division alignment was in place, you still would have had the same four teams that would have made the playoffs, because Winnipeg would have won the North with Gary finishing in second, and you would have had Wichita beating out Lincoln for 1-2 in the division. So that was kind of interesting.
And Salina still would have been last.
Yes, they would have been. We also want to send out a congratulations to the St. Paul Saints organization, named Organization of the Year.
Yeah, it's a big carrot for those that don't know. It's not just how you did on the field or how you drew. It's overall, there's a criteria that is consists of how you set up the opposing team as far as food spread in the clubhouse, clean clubhouses. If you got them shacked up in nice hotels, it's a whole criteria, and after every series, the opposing manager fills out a survey, just kind of tells how they were treated during the series, and they add up the votes, and that's how they come up with it. And for the third year in a row, St. Paul has come out ahead.
They know how to run a class organization there. Speaking of organizations, we wanted to comment on an interesting story out on the Forbes website about the Chicago Dogs and how they're intending to run their organization for this upcoming season and seasons in the future.
Yeah, it was an interesting read, and I commented on our TWITA account. They're saying all this stuff about fans first, and we're going to revolutionize the minor league baseball experience. But frankly, everything that they're talking about doing has been done by any successful independent and minor league baseball team. So bravo that they're setting the standards high, but I really don't think they should be going out and saying they're going to revolutionize anything because, frankly, they're not. They're just going to try to mimic the stuff that's already working for other teams.
Well, we'll see what the Chicago Dogs have going on. We know one person who'll be super happy if they do have the best, most revolutionary fan experience.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to hear from Charlie. It's been a while now. I hope he's doing all right down there.
Other news around the league, the Lincoln Salt Dogs see one of their players signed by the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, so the Crosby, what's the first name, Casey Crosby?
Casey, I believe. Yes, it is, Casey Crosby.
Okay. Yeah, he missed a couple years with arm injuries and got signed by Lincoln during the year, pitched well out of the bullpen for them. He has been a starter in the past. He does have major league experience with the Detroit Tigers. So the Minnesota Twins, for those that follow the Twins, you know they need pitching. And right now I think they're just going to stock as many guys they can and hope to strike gold. So the part that scares me when you get these off-season signings is that these guys go to spring training and it's almost like they're just spot fillers. And a lot of times I don't think they get a fair chance to really show whether they belong or not. But hopefully with Crosby, hopefully he's taken as a serious prospect and the Twins do give him a fair shot.
We do want to pat the Lincoln organization on the back. That's the fourth player during this 2017 time that signed with an organization. Crosby looked pretty sharp down the stretch.
And pitchers, that's the thing.
Yes,
you talk about the pitching shortage, and they're getting all these pitchers signed.
Yes, I had four of them, including Cecilio Pimentel and Sharon Martez. So that Brian McAfee is the other player that was signed there. So congratulations to that organization. I think that we saw some really significant signings around the league this season, and I'm expecting to see some other ones as we head deeper into the offseason heading towards February. We probably figure there's probably 15, 20 guys in this league that still could find a roster spot somewhere.
Yeah, and a lot of them are going to go to winter leagues, and maybe they get noticed there too, and we'll see what happens there.
Well, we come to the part of the show where Kevin and I really didn't want to talk about, which was our really bad playoff pick so far. With one playoff series left, still going on before we head on to the championship series in each league. Let's see, we have Cleveland out for both of us. I think we did pick Houston, so we were okay there.
Yeah, we did that.
And I think we were both looking for Arizona to upset the Dodgers. So if you went along with Kevin and I, we're sorry if we cost you money in Vegas.
Well, we still have a chance with Washington yet, so they can at least get us at least go 2-2. 1-3 is going to be kind of embarrassing.
yes, it will be. I would say at the moment, so are we going to go out and give our LCS picks at this point?
Yeah, I suppose we should, because by next time we're on, they'll be into the series by then. So
let's start with that American League, Yankees and Astros.
I just got a feeling that it's going to strike midnight for the Yankees, and Houston's just got a lot to play for right now. It seems like they're kind of carrying a city on their shoulders and playing with a lot of motion. That was a really solid series they had against the Red Sox. So, and the Yankees had to go 5 against the Indians. So Aaron Judge has struck out 16 times in the playoffs already. They're saying like that as many times as Tony Gwynn struck out in the whole season during one of his years.
Yeah,
so I'll give the Astros a kiss of death and pick them to win.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go with that as well, which is probably meaning nothing at this particular moment. But I
so see, Mark Oakland, if you're listening, you're welcome.
I see this as the Astros have built such a solid organization, and I see so many similarities to that Kansas City Royals team from a few years ago that just was built around a lot of youth, great starting pitching, great defense there. That guy, George Springer, who plays in the center field a lot of times for them, is an outstanding right fielder as well, is really going to be a star in this league, and I think that they are. It's Jose Altuve. He's got 3 home runs in Game 1 against Boston. I'm still kind of stunned by that because he's not bigger than me, to be honest with you. So,
give it up for the little guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm quite impressed by them, and I'm thinking that they're the team to beat there. So we're looking at Dodgers versus either Washington or Chicago. What are you thinking there?
Oh boy, I picked against the Dodgers because I just thought with the way they struggled at the end of the year that it was going to be tough for them to flip the switch and beat a team in Arizona that had their number the whole second half of the season. Yeah, and they're either going to play Washington or Chicago, and wow, that's I don't want to pick the Dodgers, but I just wonder if it's, you know, what Dodger team are we going to see? Are we going to see the one that just floods the Diamondbacks, or the ones that the team that was thankful they had a huge lead in the second half of the year? So, oh boy, I would take the Dodgers if they play Chicago. I'll take Washington if Washington beats Chicago.
I was actually going to say that exact same thing. I couldn't agree with you more, because I think that Washington's starting pitching staff matches up very well against the Dodgers, and I think that that would be, I could totally see them sweeping that out, you know, winning in 5-6 at most. Chicago, though, I think is, if they should squeak in somehow or another, I don't know, they just don't look like the same team from last season, so that's kind of where I'm down on them. But by the way, if the Houston Astros win, this would be like their first trip to the World Series. Am I right about that?
No, they did play in 2005 against Chicago, the White Sox.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you're right. Okay, so this would be the first chance to hopefully of winning a World Series than what we'd be looking at here. So one trip, no wins. Kevin, what do you got going on right now?
Just wanted to mention a few other things. Coming out of the owners' meeting, one rule that did get adopted is, the people that I talked to were calling it the Jock Romanski rule. No, it doesn't mean you can't say you know 240 times in a 20-minute interview. It pertains to collisions at home plate, and I believe the American Association is going to have a rule similar to the major leagues to try to avoid the collisions at home plate that can seriously injure a player. So I think it's the right move. You got to look at it like a guy like Tanner Lubach end up having to go to the hospital, and okay, so then who's footing the bill on his hospital visit? And then is, I don't know how that works with players, if there's a work comp thing or not. So it's just a lot of money going into something that's totally avoidable. So I, good call there by the owners.
Well, you know, I want to add to that too, is that this is a guy who's trying to get back to affiliate ball, and the last thing he needs is a punctured lung standing in the way of him getting back in his career. So it is a good call by the league.
Another thing we don't think we brought up, that up in Winnipeg, after they won the championship, they renamed the street Gold Eyes Way.
Well, great. But
that was kind of... I confirmed it. The Gold Eyes Way does not intersect with back to the MLB Avenue at all, so...
Yep, it's not the golden road to prosperity, that's for sure.
Yeah, it might be a dead end.
Yes, it may.
Another thing that happened just this afternoon, I was just reading, St. Paul Saints head of entertainment, Brian Kelly, is stepping down after a 5-year term. And in that time, he helped the Saints entertainment staff make the transition from Midway Stadium to CHS Field. He owns a mystery cafe in the St. Paul area that takes up a lot of his time in the winter. So between the Saints and the mystery cafe, he just said it was taking a lot of his time up, and he just kind of wanted a little more freedom. He's still going to be around the ballpark. He's still going to be part of the entertainment team, but he's going to help his break in his replacement. So we'll still be seeing Brian Kelly around the ballpark. So congratulations to him for a very successful 5 years.
Absolutely. Plus, that's a couple of guys off that big, kind of regulars off that entertainment crew that are leaving. And I know I'm trying to lure Sago to Wichita, so we're going to see how that winds up working out. So might be three big losses at some point here real soon.
Are they ready for Sago in Wichita?
Absolutely. Sago would be awesome in Wichita, Kansas. He would be a star down here.
I guess if a super fan caught out in Fargo, I guess Sago can make the transition.
That's right. Well, Kevin, what are we working on these days?
Well, it's kind of quiet now with the owners' meetings have come and gone, so we're still kind of keeping up with any news that comes along on our Twitter account at TWITA Baseball. So check in with us, and we'll keep you folks up to date if any news comes along.
And we'll also be including players and people around the league in future shows coming up here. We'll be wanting to have them give an opportunity to tell a little bit more about their what's going on with them and what their dreams and aspirations are in terms of independent and hopefully Major League Baseball up someday. So I hope you'll join us during the off season. So for Kevin Lucco, I'm Rob Pannear. I want to say thank you for joining us on This Week in the Association.